On a morning show today from WRCO, we're pleased to have in the studio Kim Johnson, superintendent of Kickapoo Schools, and Scott Walter, who is the Kickapoo School Board president. Good to have them in here today to talk about an upcoming referendum in the district. Scott, good morning. We'll start with you. And you're as president of the school board. It's a very proud area there in the Kickapoo region, isn't it?
It is. We've got over 50-year history now at Kickapoo Schools of excellence in education. Kickapoo Schools, Phil, was formed in the 1960s through the consolidation of the Viola and Reedstown schools. So we serve that area, the students that come from the villages of Reedstown, Viola, and the surrounding areas. But we also benefited early on from a gift by Lee and Helen Griffin. And you'll see their names prominently displayed in the school. But they allowed us to, through their gift, allowed us to build really an outstanding educational facility. We've got a wonderful auditorium, indoor heated swimming pool, so all our students learn to swim as they matriculate through Kickapoo. But an incredibly dedicated and wonderful staff. And what we're here to talk about today is, unfortunately, we're not the only school that's been here facing this situation, but really static state funding for public education has forced a lot of schools to go to referendum, operating referenda, to maintain that high level of educational offerings for students. And that's what we're here again to talk about today.
Scott, I know that you've had some improvements recently. You've been able to make some improvements in the district without going to referendum prior, haven't you?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've talked about quite a bit. This referendum for operations, so there are a couple different types of referendum. One is a capital referendum where you solicit additional tax monies from local taxpayers to pay for a particular project, say a new gymnasium, remodeling of the classrooms, et cetera. And then there's operating referenda, which are intended just to provide additional needed funding to pay for basic operations, so staff salaries, electricity bills, transportation, things like that. But we have been able, the school board, I think, has been very fiscally conservative, and we've been able to pay for a lot of the capital improvements over the last really couple decades without going to referendum.
You improved the pool not too long ago, didn't you?
The pool's probably the most recent example. We also updated the track facilities, repaved the parking lot, which is a very costly endeavor, redid some of the water and sewer mains, put a roof on part of the building, all very costly things that, again, we were able to do without going to referendum.
Yeah, I think about, and obviously the school board that went before you, too, you've been pretty frugal and very useful over the years, because I still think of Kickapoo when I go there as kind of a Cadillac school. I mean, it's been well kept over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of effort in maintaining those incredible facilities that Lee and Helen Griffin afforded us.
Indeed. Kim Johnson here, superintendent as well of Kickapoo. And Kim, the referendum coming up on April 2nd. And the big thing is just you're looking at school funding, as a lot of districts in the area are, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a number of districts who are needing to go to their communities to ask for support to continue to operate as we are currently operating. With this operational referendum, it's not that we're asking for an increase to add anything to what we are offering at this point, but just to continue those high-quality programs and services that we have been providing our community.
How much money are you talking about?
We're asking for a recurring referendum of $400,000 with an additional $400,000. And an additional $400,000 on top of that until we get to that $1.6
million. So the goal is just for operational and
the goal
staff?
Operational to continue exactly what we are doing right now. But with the increased costs and declining enrollment and the way state is our funding school districts, we're finding ourselves in a deficit, and we need to request that increased levy so that we will be able to get the funds in order to continue. So in 1993, they set those revenue limits, and so that's what we are operating under currently. So with this ask, we're asking for a larger cup or a ceiling that will extend a little bit more than that limit that was set to us in 1993. Over the years, there have been minimal per pupil increases. And as you know, the last few years, there's been inflationary increases that we cannot keep up with our current funding. So the ask is that we're gradually moving into that 1.6 to make it easier on our taxpayers, building to that point. The recurring, because state funding isn't going to look much different, so we need to look at this in a long-term, consistent basis to give us the stability that we need to continue focusing on student excellence.
What are the numbers? What's enrollment looking like for the future in the Kickapoo District? Any idea?
Yes, our numbers are we're balancing kind of right around the 400s, but decreasing slightly over the years, with graduating classes going out in the 40s and then bringing in 4K students in the 20s. Then each year we're experiencing that decline. Spread out across the district, so it makes it really difficult to eliminate a teacher because it's just a few students per class. But over the years, that really adds up.
Have you had the chance to talk with other districts about, I'm guessing they're kind of in similar dilemmas, aren't they?
They are in similar dilemmas, and we do try to spend time talking about how to inform our public and how to make our decisions transparent, to really talk about our history and the relationships, kind of relying on that trust factor where you've seen how we have done so many different projects and not gone to our community for that additional referendum. We haven't gone to referendum since 2005. So we have really, I think, built our story to share that if we don't need the money, we're not going to seek, we're not going to spend the money. We're kind of frugal. In 1993, part of the reason that our limit is so low is because we were a low-spending district. It's just who we are, you know, try to be very economic and fiscally responsible. And that's how we treat other people's money as well. But getting back to your point, I'm sorry about conferring with other districts. We share information and try to work together to really solve the problems. Even on the next level, the state level, how can we influence change and bring in awareness when you have so many districts in the state who are requiring a referendum to operate? I think that deserves recognition at our state level.
So the next step is to work with your legislators and kind of look at, you know, different ways to improve funding in the future then.
Right. When you consider that in 1993, the efforts to put the limit on our revenue was in fact done to support taxpayers so they couldn't raise taxes to extreme amounts. And now we're in an era where that's where school districts are needing to go to ask their districts for the funds to continue operating. And we realize a lot of these districts, it's getting to be a big ask, you know, to support public schools.
I know back in the day, sometimes schools even had a slush fund. You know, we're talking 70s and 80s where they had, you know, okay, we need to go buy a bus or whatever the case might be. You had that ability, but you don't necessarily have that ability anymore, do you?
No, we don't.
So as things go by and, you know, you talk about revenue limits and per pupil and things like that, even if you lose one student, you know, maybe they move to another district or whatever the case might be. That's a big deal for a district, isn't it?
That is a big deal. When you consider Wisconsin and the number of rural schools in Wisconsin, And the statewide declining enrollment, all schools are facing that decline in their revenue as well, because it is per pupil funding. And as a general population, we have changed kind of the family dynamics of not having as many babies. So it's a natural decline in our enrollment.
Yeah. Rural area, Scott, and I know, you know, you grew up in the area, but, you know, years ago you had the farm families and you had six or seven children per family. You don't necessarily have that anymore, do you?
Yeah, the landscape around here, of course, has changed incredibly just over my lifetime. Our farm out there along Elk Creek, south of Iola, you know, I knew every neighboring family. They'd been there for generations. There were still dairy herds up and down the creek, and those are all gone. And many of my neighbors now are weekenders, you know, that have some vacation property. And they pay their property taxes, but, of course, their kids aren't attending the local schools. And that's part of the reason that we're facing these declines in enrollment. And, you know, Kim pointed out something that's really, really important, I think, to emphasize. What we're seeking through this operating referendum is the authority to levy an additional amount of money, $400,000 each year for the next 4 years, for a final level of $1.6 million. But it's our intent is to seek the authority. That doesn't mean that we're going to levy that much each year. The way school budgets work, we establish a school budget based on our projected expenses every October. At the annual meeting, which everybody in the district is welcome to attend and see that budget, but when we understand what our likely expenses are, then we'll understand the revenue we need to meet those expenses and what portion of that will have to come from the local taxpayers. So that's the amount that we'll actually levy each year during the next 4 years.
And again, you as a board, that's where you know, maybe some of that frugalness comes in. If you don't use it all, you won't use it. You know, maybe it goes on to the next year. Is that how it works then?
Yeah, that's the key point. If we don't need it, we won't ask for it. It won't be levied for. So again, the $400,000, given the models that Kim and our business managers have come up with, that's sort of what we expect in the worst case scenario we might need. But again, it's not necessarily what we're going to levy for in the end.
Your district is unique, though, and it has changed more from, you know, kind of that rural farming community. You've got people from all walks of life living in your district now, don't you?
Yeah, and that adds to the flavor of the experience for our students. You know, the diversity is a word that's bantied all over nowadays, but it is important for kids to share time and learn about folks from different walks of life. So, yeah, Kickapoo is becoming a more diverse school, as the world is, and I think that's only going to be beneficial for those kids as they grow up.
Indeed, and down the road, this is a part of the legacy. You know, the next few years, I think, are pretty critical to schools of Kickapoo size.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, the big picture behind what we're talking about here, the fact that you've had multiple local schools in talking about the same issue, the fact that something like 87% of the public schools in the state have had to or are going to operating referendums suggests that, you know, there's something wrong with the state public school funding model. Kim mentioned that our revenue limit was established 31 years ago, and aside from periodic and very slight inflationary increases, the revenue we get from the state has been relatively flat, whereas our expenses have increased every year to the point where right now we're looking at a deficit of somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,300 per student. And that's the gap that this operating referendum is intended to address.
How hard is it as a board to, you know, as far as staff, because, you know, it used to be insurance was kind of a nice little bonus. But, I mean, some of those things you really have to look at make some tough decisions, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And we and every other school board around here are looking at those things as potential cost-saving measures. But our approach, I think, as a board and administration has always been that the heart and soul of a school is in the teachers. They're the ones in daily contact with the students. They're the ones that are developing skills. They're the ones that are addressing behaviors and producing the good citizens and future business leaders, et cetera, educators. that we all want. So we're very protective when we discuss cost-saving measures. We're also very cognizant of the fact that we need to support the careers of these very important teachers that have the greatest impact on our kids.
And you have a staff that many of them have been there for a number of years, haven't they?
Yeah. We've got the old guard, a number of them still around, but also a lot of new teachers over the last 4 or 5 years that are bringing their skill set and their new views of the world into the classroom.
Some other bonuses here, and this just came across today, but I see you have a couple of Herb Cole Award winners in your district, Kim. That's something to be proud of, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think through the years, we've had some Badger Teacher of the Years.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice that they get the recognition for all of the hard work that they put in, all of the selfless giving, seeking innovative ways to meet the needs of all the students that are in their class.
And we had your cast of your play in last fall. They do a dynamic job.
They
every year,
do
don't they?
A phenomenal job. Yes.
It was a pleasure to see them in there too. But Haley Gander, Herb Cole Award winner, and Evelyn, is it Hazel? Is that how you say the last name?
Oh, our students.
Your
yes.
Students, yes.
Yes, the students were winners of the Herb Cole. Yeah. Just really phenomenal students in all realms of what they participate in. True leaders and kind. Evelyn Hazel, too, is now part of our Sea Perch team that just won nationals recently. Awesome. So they're looking at a trip to compete at a national level.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. And that's something, too. You know, you talk about education. There's some things you can offer in a school district your size that maybe larger districts can't, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's just really those strong relationships and supporting students in their unique passions and helping them to grow and develop in a safe environment where they feel free to explore and learn at high levels.
Indeed. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the upcoming Kickapoo School referendum and the Kickapoo School District with Scott Walter and Kim Johnson on The Morning Show. Kickapoo Schools, our subject on The Morning Show today from WRCO. Dr. Kim Johnson here and Scott Walter as well, updating us on the upcoming referendum and all the good things going on in the Kickapoo District. Kim, as far as some of the other things that we talked about and challenges, you know, talking about the voucher program, that's something that's, you know, it's a tough thing for public schools to compete with, isn't it?
It is a tough thing, and it's concerning because of the increase of funding that is going to the voucher program. Looking at, in our future, a removal of some of the caps that was limiting the percentage of voucher students that could be funded. It's a difficult concept because when you consider the state trying to fund one school district and now trying to tackle two school entities, seems like a pretty big challenge. Just in our district, the amount of funds, I think, do you remember, Scott, was it, we were, our first year,
right now, this year, it's $113,000.
But it was like an increase of 100,000. And then, of course, other districts around us are seeing some really quite more drastic increases in funding that is going to the voucher program. And what's concerning is that it's not a very transparent process so that taxpayers understand that this amount of funds are going to this voucher program. Which essentially takes away from our public schools.
And Phil, maybe real quick, it might bear explaining to the listeners what that voucher program is. Certainly most folks that turn on the radio from time to time have heard of it, but essentially what has been proposed and what's happening right now, it's being sold as parental choice, providing parents the increased choice to send their kids to private schools as opposed to the public school in which they live. But what's happened, the legislature has not increased funding for schools in the state. So when parents decide to send their kids instead of to the local public school, to a private school in the area, the state funds go with them. So those funds then move out of the public school district and into the private school coffers. And it's challenging because, as Kim said, there's been no additional funding invested in public education or in education in the state. So we're trying to struggle, as we've talked about earlier, to fund public schools with flatline based state funding. And now public schools are having to send some of the remaining funds to private schools on top of that. So it's kind of a double whammy that, unfortunately, when we see it promoted by our legislators, it's always in the sense of this parental choice. Well, parents have always had the choice, but if their choice is to go to private schools who don't have to abide by the same state regulations and statutes, they don't have to accept all children, the parents originally had to pay those additional tuitions and fees, but now it's coming out of the public coffers, and it's really been a double whammy that has led a lot of schools to the operating referenda option.
What are some common questions you're getting right now as we approach the referendum, Kim?
A lot of questions or concerns are looking at school districts running a non-recurring referendum or recurring referendum. So I think they're looking for clarity on why Kickapoo is asking for a recurring referendum and not a non-recurring like some of the other area school districts are running. We have not run a referendum since 2005, but because of the scenario presented earlier, we're looking at a need for support in funding that doesn't go away. A non-recurring is a pocket of money for a certain number of years, and then that money goes away. Typically, schools running a non-recurring are in that cycle of a continuous, every 4 years running a referendum. So we looked at our problem, which was a deficit in our budget, and that this deficit didn't see an end. So because it does cost money to go to referendum, and it does take a focused energy on behalf of staff and board to inform and run the referendum, we felt that a fiscally responsible decision for Kickapoo was to ask for the recurring, to ask for that revenue limit ceiling to be raised to meet the needs of our students and go into perpetuity as such. Understanding completely that is a ceiling, and we're just asking for that room as we build our budgets and focus, having that stability to know that we're funded and can continue to put our efforts into meeting the needs of our students, which are ever increasing. The needs of our students seem to grow and the funding decreases. So our recurring will offer us the security to know that we're funded to continue to work and to meet the needs of our students. And that deficit isn't going away, so the recurring is just the new norm, I guess.
Additional programs have to be worked in just about every year. You probably have to add something that you didn't expect, right? That's the way it goes?
Yeah, we have a lot of discussions at the school board level, led by Kim sitting next to me here, who's got a 30-year career behind her as an elementary educator, and she really understands more than anybody I think I've ever met the particular challenges that our incoming young people have. You know, like a lot of schools around here, economically depressed area, there are kids coming in oftentimes without a home life that was supportive of reading or, you know, learning the alphabet early in their lives. So there are challenges that have to be addressed to get these kids on a path to academic and lifelong success. So, yeah, we talk about new programs and things we can do, and Kim, again, brings a lot of good experience and ideas to the table to help us address those. But, you know, solutions to problems like that usually lead to discussions about staffing, discussions about classroom space and facility needs. And those things cost money. And, again, that's part of the reason we're here, to maintain our ability to serve those students.
So what happens if it doesn't pass?
Kim, you want to take
Kim?
If it shouldn't pass, we're going to have to convene as a school board of education and administration and take a good look at where the possibilities would lie that we could make some cuts. In 2010, Act 10, our funding actually decreased. And so in that era, we actually made a lot of cuts to our schools and the programs that we were offering. So moving forward, any of the future cuts that we make are going to be staffing and programs. And that means that's personnel. And so there needs to be a lot of discussion and a lot of really some deep thought and reflection on how we move forward when you making cuts like that to your staff and programs.
And Phil, one of the concerns that we've talked about, and a concern I really feel, if we end up having to make some of those cuts to the services that are beneficial to our kids, we live in an era and operate in an era of open enrollment, where parents can send their children to any public school district in the state, and the state funding follows them. So there's movement across district lines, like Ithaca gained some students from the Richland district, et cetera. And if we start to cut programs and services, we may see more of our students moving out of the district, which is only going to exacerbate our funding, long-term funding issues. Having said that, I will say that challenge would also provide the opportunity for collaboration and districts working together to see what services they could partner on. Right now, we share a staff person that's hired jointly between the Kickapoo and Lafarge school districts. So it's a great example of how individual districts can cut expenses by sharing some of the burden with surrounding.
And you co-op with them for sports, for what, wrestling and football?
Many sports.
Yep. Yeah. So, what about the next question is about the effect on someone's tax bill? Does it have a significant effect, Kim?
Well, I think, like Scott had said, we put assumptions into our model, which impact the mill rate. So the mill rate will indeed increase, and it will impact tax bills. However, I've heard some residents concerned that their tax bill in its entirety would double. And what I want to caution is that we look specifically at a line item that states the school district, and that percent of the tax bill will indeed increase. Will it increase to the mill rates that have been identified? Like Scott had indicated, those were assumptions, and we were very conservative in those assumptions. So as we get accurate data that will fill the assumptions that we had created, most likely the mill rates will not go to that extent, but that's what we had to plan for as you look into the future. As difficult as that is when we, you know, try to determine what the weather will be, it's even more difficult with school funding because of the periods throughout the year that you receive the data that you need to put the budget together. So just the portion of the school tax will increase, but then there's also that tax credit that will also be applied from the state that is also on the tax bill.
What about how it looks on the ballot? Is it simple yes or no question, Scott?
It's a simple yes or no question. We worked hard to phrase the question so it's easily understood, you know, what we're asking and what the impact on an individual homeowner or taxpayer will be. But over the last 6 weeks or so, Kim and her staff have really put together, I think, complete and comprehensive communication plan, including listening sessions, being with you today, this morning, Phil, brochures that have gone out in the mail. So hopefully the taxpayers understand that question and the implications for them.
Any other
for the district.
Any other open houses or meetings or anything like that coming up before the election, Kim?
Nope, this one should do, although we're always open to phone calls or visits to try to help inform and educate as much as we can. But there are no official meetings other than a few more town hall meetings that we will be attending.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
Well, I think I'd just like to add that school board members are all taxpayers in the district as well, and we certainly understand, we share everybody's concern about the potential impacts on their annual property tax bill. That there's no getting around it. Those would increase with a successful referendum, but it really goes to the core of the question, you know, how important is education in public schools? So as people weigh those two, given their own needs and priorities, we recognize there's no wrong decision, and the school board will still have the same mandate to provide the best education we can for our kids, regardless of how the referendum turns out.
Okay.
Right, and I guess I would just like to also add that there is the community is invited to our annual meeting that we have in October, where we do go over the budget and make that public and get feedback at that point. So if you have continued interest, please come to our annual meeting.
Get out and vote on April 2nd as well, right?
Get out and vote.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming in here to talk to us today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Dr. Kim Johnson joining us, superintendent at Kickapoo Schools. And Scott Walter, good to have you back in here. It's been a little while since you've been
here. Good to be here, yeah.
He is the principal of the Kickapoo School Board of Education. And we'll have more information about the community coming up in a moment on The Morning Show.